This interview with Dr. Chris Lintott of the University of Oxford is part of the Jodcast. For the full show, go to www.jodcast.net.
Okay, if you listened to the last Jodcast or have been looking at the web in the past month, you may very well have heard about an exciting new project called Galaxy Zoo. Now, we're lucky to be joined on the line from the University of Oxford by one of the astronomers behind the site. That's Chris Lintott. Hi, Chris.
Hiya.
Thanks for joining us on the Jodcast again.
It's a pleasure.
I think we last talked to you at the National Astronomy Meeting in April.
That's right, when Galaxy Zoo was a straight beam of light in a telescope and nothing more.
So what is this Galaxy Zoo? Just tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's the solution to a very, very simple problem, which is that if you want to understand galaxy formation, the first thing you need to do is split galaxies into two major categories: spiral galaxies like the Milky Way, and basically large balls of stars, which we call elliptical galaxies. That's the easy bit, but the problem is that computers are terrible at doing this. They do all right, but we lose all the weird and the wonderful, and therefore the interesting galaxies that fit into both categories. So the best way to do this is to sit down, look at an image, and say that's a spiral or that's an elliptical, because the human brain is very, very, very good at pattern recognition. So we can do this really well. So we set, well, a PhD student here at Oxford, Kevin Svavinsky, started doing this. And the one scientific result he got so far is that if you look at 50,000 galaxies, you never want to see another galaxy again in your life. We know that for sure. But we have a million galaxies, images of a million galaxies taken by a robotic telescope, which is producing what's called the Sloan Digital Sky Survey. And we wanted to investigate all of these. So we put all the million images on the web, and we're inviting members of the public to visit our website and help us classify them.
It sounds like a great idea. How long did it take your PhD student to sort out 50,000?
That was, it depends how many beers he has when he talks about this. It's not my PhD student, he works for a couple of other people. But between a week and a month of constantly doing nothing else but classifying galaxies.
All day long.
Yeah, it's not good for the health. So we were talking, and because I've been helping follow up some of his original selections, and we were talking, we said, well, wouldn't it be nice to do the rest? And suddenly it hit us that we could do that, but by recruiting essentially tens of thousands of research assistants via the web. And we launched a couple of weeks ago now, and people have been visiting the site by their tens of thousands and helping us classify these galaxies. It's been fantastic.
And this follows on from things like Stardust at Home and SETI at Home.
That's right. I mean, I remember doing SETI at Home when I had a very, very slow laptop way back when. When did SETI at Home start? Must have been late 90s.
A few years ago.
Yeah, I remember chugging through one unit every couple of weeks or something, looking for aliens. Never found any, or if I did, they never told me. But the real inspiration, as you say, was Stardust at Home. This is NASA's Stardust probe. Flew through the tail of comet Vilt 2, brought dust grains back here, and a tiny proportion of those are interstellar dust grains. So they told people what to look for and then let them loose on the data. And it was hugely successful. I think they had 20,000 people look at 40 million images of dust grains to look for that needle in a haystack. And it was that that made us think, well, hang on, galaxies are more interesting than dust grains. So if people will sit in front of a computer and look at a dust grain, surely they'll want to look at our beautiful pictures of galaxies.
And you do have some nice pictures of galaxies. I've been trying out Galaxy Zoo for myself.
We do. I think we've asked people if they see anything particularly nice to email us, and we kind of underestimated the number of galaxies which are pretty, because I've got 14,000 emails that need sorting through. We're thinking of setting up Email Zoo, in which we invite members of the public to answer our emails for us. But actually, that's an important point, because some of the, we haven't been through all of them yet, but we have been through a large proportion of the things people have pointed out, and we're actually beginning to write proposals to follow up on things people have discovered.
Wow.
Nothing to do with the original science case, but we've got such a wealth of information that leaps out at you when you look at a galaxy and you say, hang on, that doesn't make sense. You need to look at it to do that. And most of these images have never been viewed before by the human eye. All the analysis, despite the huge amount of work that's been done on the Sloan data sets, most of these images have never been looked at. So you don't notice that that galaxy's particularly odd until you just have the image in front of you.
So if people haven't already signed up to help with this huge project, how do they go about doing that?
It's quite simple. You go to the website, which is www.galaxyzoo.org, O-R-G. There's a tutorial that will take you a couple of minutes to read that will show you the kind of things we're looking for, how to divide a galaxy from one to the other. Then there's a short trial that we know 6- and 7-year-olds can pass, so it's nothing scary if you don't want to do an exam.
I managed to get through it, and it seemed to work, so...
Exactly. If even you can pass, and you're a radio astronomer, right?
Yep.
Exactly. We've had you pass. Theoretical cosmologists have passed.
Even theoretical cosmologists?
Even theoretical. We've got some on the team, and they've learned a lot about galaxies. even their colleagues can pass this test. And then you're there, and you're seeing an image of a galaxy that probably very few people have ever seen before, and we just ask you to click, is it a spiral or is it an elliptical? And there's one tiny wrinkle on this, which is that if it's a spiral, we'd like to know which way the arms are pointing, because that tells you which way the galaxy is rotating.
So that's clockwise or anti-clockwise?
That's right, yeah. For the ones that you can see that, obviously, we ask you to record that as well. And the reason for doing that is a hint that something very, very strange is going on in the universe. There's a claim in the literature that came out a couple of months ago that if you look at one patch of sky, the odds of a galaxy going clockwise are different than if you look on another patch of sky. Now, it should be completely random because this is just an effect of us looking up and depends on the angle we see the galaxy.
Yep.
So it should be random, but the suggestion based on 1,000 galaxies is that it isn't. And if that's true, then we're missing something about the large-scale structure of the universe.
Mm.
There might be a magnetic field that threads the entire universe. Something very odd is going on. So we can test that. And so we're asking you to do that as well. Because with the number of galaxies in our sample, we should be able, hopefully, to provide the definitive test of that.
Yeah, sounds like a good idea. How much time do people need to put into this? Can they just sort a few galaxies, or do they have to put in hours and hours and hours of time?
The more the better, obviously, but a few galaxies are useful. I reckon it takes, the first time you come to the site, it takes 5 minutes to get to the point where you're classifying galaxies.
Mm.
And once you've done that, 5 minutes is useful, or, you know, whatever time you can give us. I will warn you, though, as you know, if you've tried it, it's disturbingly addictive.
Yes. I used it most of a lunch hour.
Yeah, exactly. It's like sitting eating crisps. You think you'll just have one more and then you'll leave it, but there's always the next galaxy. And the people who designed our site did a fantastic job, because when you classify the galaxy, it automatically loads the next one. So it's always tempting just to hang on and see what the next galaxy is going to be like.
Apart from helping with the science, what incentive is there for people to actually participate?
You get to see some really, really beautiful things that very few people have seen before, and people are having a great time. I mean, there's a blog that's run independently of us that's sprung up, in which people are sharing with each other images they've discovered.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. It's galaxyzoo.wordpress.com if you want to go and have a look. It's linked from our site. And it's fantastic. People are saying, look at this, you know, and trying to puzzle out what's going on here. I've heard from other astrophysicists who've had friends who haven't ever talked to them about the work, ring them up and send them an email, say, what's this? Because I might have discovered something. It's just an amazing way to get to know the universe around us. And because you're dealing with real data, I mean, you get to help us as well,
yep,
but you get to really explore the universe. And for those of us who live in a city, you can sail the night sky this way. It's almost as good as being under dark skies.
You've somehow managed to get those images as thumbnails for us to look at. Presumably that was done by a computer.
Yeah, everything from the telescope selecting its targets, to taking the images, to processing them, even to classifying them as a galaxy. And in some cases, you know, most of these galaxies in the catalogue have redshifts and sizes recorded, distances and sizes recorded. All of that's completely automatic. So it's not until somebody comes along to galaxyzoo.org, has a look, that you get to see what's there. And, you know, it's a million galaxies. There are still some surprises out there that people haven't spotted yet.
Now, one of the things I noticed while trying to sort things, or one of the things I worried at the back of my mind, was what if I'd classified something wrongly? What if I'd, say, classified a spiral galaxy as an elliptical galaxy?
Well, Stuart, we'd expose you to the rest of the astronomical world, and your degrees would be taken away from you.
Right. No, but what about if a member of the public did that?
No, that's actually, I should mention, astronomers are terrible at doing this. We've done some experiments, and astronomers are the last people in the world we want to come and sign up. Amateur astronomers are great, people who look at things. Members of the public are great. Astronomers get too worried about it and then give up in a huff. But leaving that aside, because the project has already been a great success, we're going to be able to show the same galaxy to lots of people.
Right.
Now, that's important because it allows us, if you hit the wrong button, it doesn't matter because that will get corrected. But it also means we can do something that's never been done before, which is we'll know how good these classifications are. because Kevin may have sat and looked at his 50,000, which is an amazing effort. Now, I don't want to take anything away from him. I think he wished we took it away from him earlier, but nevertheless, you know, it's amazing what he did. But if you read the papers based on that, you have to believe that Kevin was good at classifying galaxies. Whereas if we're dreaming of getting to a point where 10 people have looked at every galaxy, then we'll be able to say, okay, well, this is the results we get from our study. Now, if we get something controversial, we can double check. We can say, okay, we'll only take those where 9 out of 10 people have agreed. And that's really quite a strong criteria. So we can choose how much faith to put in our selections. And being able to do that is something no one's been able to do before. And it's going to be very, very interesting to explore exactly how much confidence you can have in some of these marginal classifications.
Well, it's a great project. I hope I don't waste too much of my lunch times and day doing it.
Well, don't worry. We've got plenty of other ideas for what happens next. So we'll be trying to steal as much of your time as possible.
Right, and we'll advise all the Jodcast listeners to go to galaxyzoo.org and check it out.
Yes, please. That would be great.
Chris, while you're here, you also have started well, it's not new now, but you started an astronomy podcast called livingspaceonline.com. Just tell us about that.
It's the sky at night, assuming we had the budget to fly everyone into the same studio. So the idea is we're covering all the news and trying to talk to as wide a variety of people as possible.
Right.
So for people who like watching the sky at night but don't want to stay up late, it's not Patrick, I should say. It's me and my fantastic co-presenter from Heart FM, Harriet Scott. If you want to find out all the latest news from the universe in between Jodcasts, then you can come to livingspaceonline.com.
I noticed you're every week. We can't possibly compete with that.
Well, it's every week while our sanity holds. We'll see how long that lasts.
Right, well, we'll put links to that podcast on our show notes as well. And thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.